flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
That was Alex Spear on the 310 to Left podcast.
Okay.
Spear and Tom Karen.
You know, 310 is actually apparently not the exact distance. That's what it says on the monster.
Oh,
but
boy.
It's more like 299 is what I've heard. 300.
So what are you saying? Bad name for a podcast?
No, great name. A little bit, maybe a little inside joke there.
Because
it's really not 310 to Left. And I think Red Sox fans, like real Red Sox fans, would know,
they
that.
Know
like,
that.
Who wouldn't round up?
Get the tape measure out there.
That's
yeah.
Good point. That's a good point. We all got to. Yep. We're going to round up a little bit.
Add a little bit. Yeah.
In our lives.
Nobody rounds down.
Add a little bit. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And so Alex Spear is talking about the Red Sox and how he was encouraged by their offer to Max Fried. You didn't hear some of that there, but I'm just giving you the backstory on that clip. And he goes on to say, well, that was encouraging that they were willing to offer this money. Walker Buehler is almost the floor for what I expect them to do in free agency, which to me, and I don't hate Walker Buehler.
No, you don't.
But at this point, if that's the next shoe to drop, a Walker Buehler signing, who was a top-of-the-rotation guy for the Dodgers, he had Tommy John, he was very good in the World Series a year ago, I'm not against signing him, but if that's the next thing you do, like you trade for Garrett Crochet, and then it's Walker Buehler, I'm not saying it won't work on the field, but that's not, if we're talking about buzz and excitement, that's not getting it done.
Yeah, you know, I know that he had the injury where he missed all of 2023. He hasn't been good since 2021.
So he was quite bad last year until the play. Spear made this point. He was good in
the World Series.
Yeah, and good in the playoffs, good in the World Series.
2022 was also kind of just like an average year for him before he got hurt. And so he was really at his best 2021. And then even like, you know, prior to that when he was like a young guy. So I'm not anti-Walker Buehler. We haven't seen him be good consistently since 2021. So, like, there is a little bit of that. I feel he's better than Lucas Giolito, but Lucas Giolito is one of those guys, too, where you looked at him and you're like, well, if you take that year or that specific year, that's where, like, I don't want to mess around with it. Like, go after Corbin Burns or go after one of these Mariners pitchers and then take some of your free agency budget, that whatever it is that you have, and grab another stick. They for sure need another pitcher. But there's one much better in free agency.
Maybe two.
Maybe two, actually, depending on how you feel about Sasaki, right? That you're talking about. And then the Mariners thing seems like it's just there to be had. Like somebody's got to pull the trigger on that. And then there's still a few maybe like useful bats. Nobody, obviously, to the Juan Soto degree, but somebody that would come in there and make you better. So there should still be moves to be made. But this baseball offseason is
didn't you have
brutal.
Higher hopes? And not just for the Red Sox.
No, it's the whole sport.
The whole sport. I had higher hopes. I thought, you know, you got Soto, you got Fried, and really that's what you got.
Because you know what? I thought teams or players specifically might look around, players more so than teams, It's see, do you want to be Blake Snell? Do you want to be Jordan Montgomery? You played it out. You thought it was the greatest thing. You end up having to sign a one-year deal with an option. You sucked for the vast majority, if not all, of the year. You lost like a year.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a pitcher. You can't wait until March to sign.
Nope.
And even some of these position players probably want some sort of camp, too.
Don't you kind of think? I mean, Trevor Story was a late signing. We've talked about this a lot. Yeah. J.D. Martinez was a late signing. One worked, one didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you kind of get the feeling that Corbin Burns is going to drag this out for a while?
Yeah.
Sasaki has to sign by when? Mid-January?
I was really hopeful, and maybe it was dumb.
He can't sign before January.
Yeah, no, he hasn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. So he can't sign until then. Got it.
But put him to the side. There's still everybody else. And there was some activity at the winter meetings, but so was there last year, I guess. Like, Shohei Ohtani signed in December.
Yeah, it was after the meetings, but it was December. Yep.
But you would have thought, all right, after he signs, now everybody else can get going. Like Juan Soto, I could see why, if you're a top 20 free agent, maybe waiting to see what he gets, maybe that boosts your value $20 million or whatever, and teams that missed out on Soto might be interested in you. Kind of crickets.
Yeah.
There's been some moves, and like obviously the Red Sox got Garrett Crochet. That was a trade, not a signing. But there's still a lot of big-name guys out there.
Shame on me. I thought it'd be different for the Red Sox. Crochet was a bold trade, but really, at the end of the day, not that different.
We're not spending any money.
Not the difference I expected, right, which was spending money. I thought the winter meetings, there would be more action. So I was wrong on both counts. You know, glass half full Jones, wrong again. That's why I try to go the other way. It's also a Celtics Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI all day long. Scal will be coming up here today on WEEI Afternoons. It's part of Celtics Wednesday. You heard Mego this morning. Andrew in Boston has a way to fix the NBA. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going? Those eras of basketball that you guys were talking about, those players, they were considered like they were real alpha male, real tough. And I think the generation now with the load management and the flopping, the weak fouls, the players are more apt to shoot an unguarded three than take it to the hole. They don't want to get a slap on the wrist. And it's changed the way we look at the players. You know?
I'm sorry. I thought he was
wow.
down there.
Quick hook. Okay. You wanted to give him the...
used to having callers on a timer today.
Yeah.
There might be something to the load management. Like, I don't disagree with that. There's plenty of flopping in the 80s. Get out of my face with that.
But not only that, like, LeBron James is one of the all-time floppers, and I can't stand him, but he was a ratings juggernaut for a while. Yep. People loved watching LeBron. He's flopping all over the place.
Yeah, look, I'm all for cleaning up flopping. You guys loved it when Marcus Smart was here. But I'm all for cleaning up flopping and getting that out of the league. I'm just saying that's happened for a long time.
But do you subscribe to...
The low management thing might be a factor.
When men were men? Do you like that?
No.
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 Because the players are more like talented, probably more athletic now overall.
Yeah,
not like Jordan, but like other guys. Like overall,
no.
It should be a better product based on that.
The skill level now is as high as it's ever been.
Yeah,
like the skill level now is way higher than the 80s.
Yeah.
Way higher, not even close.
No, it's not.
But is the product better than it even was 10 years ago? That to me is up for debate. No question about the skill level.
Yeah,
when men were men is.
Didn't they try to clean up the flopping by issuing techs last year?
Yeah.
Have they been doing that this year? I haven't noticed
fines?
It at all.
I haven't really noticed it either. Can you get fined now for flopping?
If you get enough warnings, you can.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how much they enforce it, but that is a rule that's on the books.
Soccer's the most popular sport in the world. There's more flopping in that.
People like Josh Allen. He flops all the time.
Josh Allen flops all the time. Mahomes.
Brady used to scream for stuff.
Brady would flop. Yeah. That's true. Back when men were men.
Uh-huh.
So look, one of the things we're fixing today is the NBA. That's just one thing. We have solutions. We're in the solutions
business.
We're
not done there.
We're tired of talking about problems, problems this, problems that. We want solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Keith gave you a 1 minute plan to fix the Patriots?
All the time I need.
I gave you, I don't even need all that time sometimes. I gave you a 1 minute plan to fix the Patriots. We're going to replay both. We want you to vote on whose plan is better. That's on social media at Jones and Keefe. You can vote there at Keefe21, at Jones WEEI. And by popular demand, Wiggy will be giving us his 60-second plan to fix the Patriots. All that next.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.